When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today, we'll choose an EV for a guy interested in the Kia EV6 but worried about reliability, a woman replacing her Toyota Prius, and a family looking for a mid-size vehicle that's good for road tripping. Hello, and welcome to Battery Bargains, a series from the Batteries Included podcast where we answer your EV buying questions. This is episode number 16. I'm Dominic Chioni, and I am joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast and Tom Malogny, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain, emails with your use case and budget, please keep your emails to a couple of short paragraphs so we can get through as many as possible each week, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this off with our first case for the day. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. So are you guys ready to spend somebody else's money?
Here we go.
Let's do it.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Mike, and he writes, "Hi, everyone. Can we discuss EV reliability? I'm looking for an efficient wagon slash hatchback slash SUV, and a Kia EV6 seems like a great deal. With used prices in the mid-30s, in the last episode, Kyle talked about software and electronic issues with the IONIQ 5 and 6, and there were plenty of forum posts about EV6 stuck in dealerships while they tried to figure out how to fix it. I like to keep my cars for a long time, so I'm nervous about an EV that will be an expensive brick in 7 to 10 years. So Tesla build quality is universally panned, but the software and drivetrain seem to work well. So is Tesla currently the only reliable EV option? There are a lot of reasons I prefer the EV6 to the Model Y: styling, ventilated seats, actual buttons, dashboard, no Elon, but the reliability issue has me worried. I guess I can just keep my Prius for another 3 years and see what the market looks like then. Mike. All right. So this is a interesting case. Reliability with the Kia EV6, which sits on the eGMP platform that it shares with the Hyundai IONIQ 5 and the Hyundai IONIQ 6. I don't know. What do we know about EV6 reliability, Tom?
We're waiting to see who you choose first. Yeah. So, yeah, it does seem like the Kia and Hyundai vehicles are having, slightly more reliability issues than some of the other brands out there. I know EV6 had some 12-volt battery issues, right, that they're still dealing with. I don't think that has been resolved just yet. If you look at the forums, people still seem to be having issues with those. But, you know, to your question of, is Tesla the only brand making reliable EVs? No, they're not, definitely. I've owned 11 different electric vehicles, very few problems with any of my EVs. I have no problem with my Ford F-150 Lightning now. I've had it for almost a year and a half. I have 18,000 miles on it. My Rivian's never had any issues, other than I had a problem with one upon delivery. That just something didn't pass quality control, and they came out and fixed it in my driveway first week I owned it. So, there's a lot of reliable EVs out there. But with anything, you're going to have you could potentially have problems. Teslas have problems. We've seen a lot of Tesla suspension issues, and there's things that Tesla's being accused of knowing that they're having problems and shipping the vehicles with them because they just needed to get them out the door. So even with Tesla, you're not guaranteed to have a perfect ownership experience. But their vehicles do seem to be generally reliable. I've owned two Teslas, and I really had very few problems with them other than the initial delivery issues that I had corrected. After that, I really didn't have any problems at all. So it seems like, for your specific needs based on your letter there, a Tesla Model Y might be the right choice for you. It just seems like it fits what you need. It is generally a reliable vehicle, but there are other reliable vehicles out there. The funny thing is, I was really, before you really seemed to stress the quality issue, when I read it, I said, I almost would recommend an Ioniq 5 to this person, but that seems to be something that's high on your list, and they have had some issues. So I'm probably going to stick with the Y. It seems like one of the few vehicles that you seem interested in, and you can't go wrong. It's a good vehicle. It's a reliable vehicle. I have plenty of friends that own them. They all love them. So that might be the right way to go. Your initial instinct might be right with that one.
Right on. So, Martin, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about your car being an expensive brick, first of all, because it's one of the world's biggest car makers. Hyundai, Kia, Genesis are not going anywhere anytime soon. If you said to us you were going to buy a VinFast, again, massive company, very well-funded, hugely rich billionaire owner, will probably be around in 30 years. We'd say, well, we don't have any experience of that, really. But Kia, over the course of the last 20 or 25 years here, have completely changed, their image from very cheap, unreliable, knockabout cars to very desirable cars like the EV6. So will it be an expensive brick? No. Will your car get bricked, to use that phrase? Well, it seems like the forums are still talking about 12-volt problems. Many of our regular viewers know that I had a Hyundai Kona for a year, and twice the battery failed. And both times, I mentioned this on a previous podcast when Out of Spec Dave joined us, and I stuck a multimeter across the 12-volt, and it was just dead. It was what I would call bricked. It's like 4 or 5 volts on a, because it should be about 13 point something volts. Mm-hmm. We call it the 12 volt battery. And I recharged it and it was fine. And then the car worked fine for another 6 months. So I let the new owner know that when we sold the car and said, look, this happened twice. So, because it is disconcerting because nothing in the car works. Because when you zap the key or anything like that, or you want to try and, both times for me, I was charging the car. It was plugged into my wall charger, and you can't get that out because it locks, the pin locks in into the connector. And so the car is dead, and you've got to use the physical key to get in, pop the bonnet, and either attach a jump pack or something to it. I've read the forums, and some people have had success going back to Hyundai. This is particularly with the Kona that I investigated, and saying this is a warranty issue and I want a new battery done. It's the first three, 12 volts shouldn't go in the first 3 years. Also, if you look at Tesla, more recently, they've moved away from 12-volt batteries to, sort of lead-acid batteries, and they've moved over to lithium-ion batteries to run the 12-volt system. So that's probably for good reason as well. So the EV6 does seem to have these issues on the forums. I don't see it a lot. We're not getting our door banged down week in, week out from EV6 owners going, these cars are terrible. So I think that's fine. I did read about a thing recently with the Ioniq 5, the sister car, where it has a coolant flush at 35,000 miles, which I didn't realize. Obviously has to be done by a very highly trained, you would think, main dealer. 3 years, 35,000 miles. It was battery coolant flush. I'd never heard of that before. No one's ever talked to me about it, and it seems expensive. Perhaps $800 in some places. So have a look into things like this that could affect your long-term. It doesn't have, my point being, that's not on the Kia EV6 service schedule. So again, one of those things that, if you didn't replace the coolant, would the battery stop working? No. Is it probably out of an abundance of caution? Probably yes. but it's a thing to think about with Ioniq 5 if you're buying that secondhand, which I didn't realize. So I know I wouldn't worry about it at all. To Tom's point, if you want to get a Tesla, bearing in mind the Model Y is the biggest selling EV in the world last year, biggest selling passenger car in the world, there is a hugely installed user base and of third-party parts as well. So if you are worried about obsolescence, then you can insulate yourself the most by buying a Tesla, because even if Tesla went bust tomorrow, they won't, there's gonna be a community that keeps those cars running forever.
Right. I would just add, too, this, the Tesla Model Y is built in Texas, that's the newest Gigafactory, and it's probably got the best... or at least as good, maybe even better than China as far as like the build quality there during the big mega castings, and I think that makes for just a more solid car. Some people do say that it could be possibly more expensive to repair if you're in a fender bender or not, but I'm not, you know, that's what insurance is for. And same with you know, bricking your car, you have insurance, you have warranties. So I mean, you could get stuck with an EV6 in the dealership getting the battery changed, but at least with the lead acid batteries, you know, people say like in a Tesla they're good for like 2 years tops, which I mean, I had mine for longer than that, like 4 years, but there's plenty of people, especially in the south, in the hotter part of the country, where they have to replace their 12 volts, their lead acid ones at least every 2 years. So and looking in the EV6 forum real quick, I saw that there was a quick poll about, you know, people having problems, and there was, you know, well over half had no problems whatsoever, but there were, of course, were some, you know, 12 volt battery complaints and a few other you know, odds and ends. But when you look at forums, people, like, you know, we'll talk about their issues, problems, a lot more than we'll talk about, oh, this is like the best experience ever, no problems. They don't usually go onto a forum to tell people that we're having no problems, right?
Are we all in agreement that the option of keeping your Prius for 3 more years is not the right option?
I mean, I don't want... I'm not a huge Prius fan. What's that, Tom? I think you're muted.
It might be the most economically sound decision, because unless you have your car is really falling apart, it's true. Usually the you know, financially the best decision to hold on to your car longer, unless it's really starting to break down a lot. So if this is purely a financial play, you know, which doesn't sound like it is, the thing would be to keep the Prius. But sounds like you're ready to move on to a new vehicle, and you know, I think Model Y would be a great fit for you.
There's never going to be a good time to buy a car, though, is there? Like, there's always going to be. It's like buying a computer or a phone. There's always the next latest. We get a lot of emails saying, "Oh, I've got to deposit in for the Volvo EX30," and but that is it's a surprising amount, actually. And it, you know, that is, I think, at the minute, the big shiny thing on the horizon. But the minute that's out, there'll be a new big shiny thing on the horizon. True. You know, if you put off the purchase of an EV, as Tom says, financially, you might actually be better off. But if you are into driving electric cars and you want to experience this shift that we go through, then you know, hanging on is not going to do a lot for you.
And I suspect he'll enjoy driving an EV6 or a Tesla Model Y a lot more than the Prius.
I
don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm biased slightly, but I don't know. Prius is just not that exciting a vehicle to drive, in my experience.
Well, the new one's pretty good.
The new one's pretty decent, but that's not what he has. Yeah. The new one is pretty decent. I will give it that. That's true. Yeah, I wouldn't hate on anybody for choosing the Go Prius, like plug in Prius Prime, basically.
Yeah.
We should move on to our next one, I guess. Our next case comes to us from Adam, who sent us an email and says, "Hello from Adam in Los Angeles. My wife has a 2011 Prius, with about 60,000 miles that she'd be interested in replacing with an EV. Her use case is occasionally driving around a 40-mile radius from our home, but most trips are 8 miles or less. She works from home and doesn't road trip. We're not new to EVs. I had a Chevrolet Volt with a V from 2013 to 2021 and a Tesla Model Y Performance from December of 2021. We have a 48-amp OpenEVSE brand unit. That's a wall charger, which has J1772 handle currently, but might change it to NACS. That's the North American charging standard from Tesla, if wife ends up getting a Tesla. So we'd like to keep purchase price around $35,000 or below. Used car is also okay. Areas important are cost of repair, vehicle simplicity, safety, reliability, and no monthly fees for extra bells or whistles. Areas of less importance, tech, vehicle size. I think she likes something around the Prius size. Style, not important so much. And level 2 or DC charging speed, not super important. So that's an interesting little case here. Yeah, really doesn't need a whole lot of fancy tech. And in the longer version of the email she mentioned, or the Adam mentions, that she doesn't even use the Bluetooth in her Prius now. So, you know, tech is not super important. What do you think, Tom?
There's a lot of EVs, especially since they're considering used also with 35,000. I mean, Kia Niro and not, you know, say style and tech isn't really important, or charging speed. Niro, Kona. How about a Bolt EV? That would absolutely work. That's, you know, doesn't charge fast, doesn't really have a lot of tech in it, has questionable styling, things that you're not really in love with. You know, I'll throw out my the car that I like to bring up whenever I can, a used BMW i3. You know, that may be pushing it a little bit on the tech, but, you know, it doesn't really charge particularly fast. She doesn't drive far. I mean, no. For crying out loud, a Spark EV, a used Spark EV would work for her with the low mileage that she puts on. So almost anything would seems to work for her. So, but then again, you know, he's talking about maybe ending up with a Tesla, and that way doesn't have to worry about having two different, handles in the garage. But if he does replace the open EVSE and gets a used vehicle or a vehicle for his wife with JC1772, he can get the Tesla universal wall connector that I have right here behind me, and then you could use that for all your for both vehicles, for your Tesla. It seems like he still has, no, he doesn't still have the Model Y, the performance. No, he has it since.
Yeah, still has the Model, yeah, still has the Model,
yeah,
Y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he still has the Model Y. So yeah, I mean, it's almost hard for me to steer you, Adam, because there's so many vehicles that work for her. Let her take a look at a Kona, at a Niro. We almost never recommend, I mean, we rarely recommend Leafs, but, you know, a Leaf would even work for her. She's talking about charging speed doesn't matter. A Bolt, even a BMW, a used BMW i3. You could pick up a really nice one of those, late model with good range. Get the BEV. She doesn't need the Rex, and the BEV units have almost no problems for the i3s. The i3s that seem to have some sort of service issues, typically the ones with the range extenders, but the BEVs are incredibly reliable. So, I mean, the sky's the limit. Show your wife a bunch of different EVs and let her pick out the one she likes best.
I was going to say, if you could take the i3, but you can't really take an i3 for a test drive right now because they're not sold new anymore. But yeah, Martin, you have any suggestions?
Yeah,
Toro.
Yeah, oh, you can rent one for a day, or
that's true.
I was trying to think of cars that, as Tom says, $35,000, and you've not given us a huge restriction. Almost anything. There's very little, and we only don't recommend the Leaf because of Chatamo and road tripping. But if that's not an issue, then of course that means that the prices are more competitive. So I was thinking, what's a car that we very rarely recommend? And I can't think of the last time we recommended the Volvos, like the XC40 or the C40. And again, used, under $35,000. They were $50,000 cars new, and they don't mind buying new. And that's a car that, you know, you mentioned safety in your email. So of course you got the legendary Volvo safety on that. But equally, you said, well, tech's not that important. And actually, they are quite techy inside. Not overly, by the way. That big screen is not scary. But it would stay up to date over the next...
Sorry for interrupting, Martin. Is that Android-based in the Volvo like it is in the Polestar?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So again, if your wife has an Android phone, by the way, that's going to be a very seamless experience for her to get in. And you can have different profiles. So if you get in... you know, you can have your profile, she can have hers. I'm, you know, personally, I'm an iPhone. No, I'm split, actually. I've got the iPhone, iPad, and the watch. But then again, all my work is done on PC, and all my editing and things like that. But I've still got a Gmail address, which I use in Android cars. And that is going to be very, very simple for you. If she has an Android phone, it's going to be very integrated. If she wants to navigate somewhere, you can do that on your desktop or your phone the night before and send it to the car. So she gets in. And it's there waiting, which is quite nice and Sims. But you say the tech isn't important to her, so that's a car that we don't recommend so often, for no good reason actually. Sometimes it's because it's built on a platform which also has the plug-in hybrid and the combustion cars as well. It's not a pure play EV, and the original XC40s, C40s, Polestars weren't the most efficient. So again, if you're looking to get the, rinse the most miles out of a car, you don't want to drive that deep into the pack. You know, when it's 5 or 6%, you're going to start to see some performance limiting there, to the point of almost being a little bit dangerous on the highway. You won't do 70 miles an hour at the bottom of the pack. None of these things are an issue. So have a look at the Volvo XC40, because you mentioned safety.
All right. That sounds like a decent... I like that Volvo suggestion. That's pretty good, actually. Maybe I've been spending too much time with Tom or something. I don't know. But my mind just went to the BMW i3, like battery only. So I did a little bit of looking. 2021, I just looked for the last year they made them. So it's got the biggest battery and probably the lower miles on the internet. Like, so here's one. It's a little bit high at $31,000. It's in your budget, but it's still a bit high compared to some of the other ones. But it's only 6,200 miles on it. I'm not sure how I don't think they're that techy inside this. I don't know. I haven't really spent a whole lot of time in the BMW i3, but Tom has. I don't know. Is it super techy in there, Tom?
It might have been in 2014 when it first came out. No, it's not super techie. It's pretty simple.
Right.
And like I said, you want to maybe go for the 120 amp hour as you see up there on that list battery. That's the largest battery size.
Yeah.
And 130, 140 miles of range, which is, again, way more than what you need. Only 50 kilowatt DC fast charging speed. That doesn't matter to you. Level two speed, it actually does well. It'll charge it pretty quickly because the battery's not that big. I love the i3s, and they're great little runaround cars. Great outward vision, easy to park, great for a runner. My wife still misses our i3s just for
tooling,
running around town and everything. Yeah, she still misses it. And my wife likes the Bolt. She drives the Bolt, but she says it's not the i3. You know, the i3 just drove so much better, and there's better outward vision.
i3's rear wheel drive, for one. Yeah. That's the thing I like about the dynamics of it more than the Bolt. But I do like the Bolt.
My wife still talks about our i3s. Yeah.
Visibility is good driving that. You feel
glass.
Yeah.
Steering and everything, it's just so tossable. It wants to just dart around. Great little around town car.
What about repair? Because there wasn't a lot in this email for us to get our teeth
into. The cost of repair, though, it makes me think maybe a Nissan Leaf might be the better idea, though.
Well, and I was going to ask, before we move on, Tom, have you come across any of those issues around the i3? Because it is, I think, still space age technology in terms of. If the cost of repairability, it is a vehicle out of production now. It is a sunsetted vehicle.
Sure. So, as far as repairability in an accident, it's expensive, and they total easily because of the carbon fiber frame. Mm-hmm. They're very safe, though. I had a really bad accident one. I got T-boned. A woman hit me in the side driver's side door going 45 miles an hour. Just ran a red light through an intersection and just T-boned me. Right. And I was totally fine. The car actually, gave itself up because the carbon fiber was cracked down the center of the frame. But really safe car. But as far as repairing other items, the BEVs are so simple. That really things don't go on them. Things can break, like your air conditioning, compressor, and things like that. But that would be, the same as an ICE car or a BMW, which perhaps has higher cost to repair. But everything I've known, and I know a lot of people in the i3 community, The i3s are very reliable. The ones that seem to have maintenance issues are the ones with the range extenders, and that's why I'm not recommending you get one. You don't need one for the little amount of miles you drive.
Right on. All right, let's move on to our last email of the day, and that comes to us from Thomas. He writes, "Hi there. I live in a Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas suburb, and I'm considering my first EV. It will replace a 2016 Honda Civic EX, and I prefer sedans and hatchbacks. I could possibly go for a crossover. My wife's BMW X3 is too large for my taste. I can install a charger at home, but we do sometimes drive 600 miles from us, so DC charge speed is important, and range should be at least 250 miles around. I'm not a fan of the Kia or Hyundai brands, but am interested in the refreshed Tesla Model 3. I liked Volvo EX30, but the backseat looks too small for our growing daughter. Volkswagen ID7 seems promising, but lacks North American charging standard, NACS, from Tesla, and is too long. I'd like it to keep the length close to 182 inches. That's about the length of the Honda Civic he's replacing. Safety features are also a worry, I messed up my transcription here. But he worries about a glass roof because of hail and heat, and the budget ceiling is $50,000. That's a big budget. Thanks, Thomas." All right, Tom. So not too long, a sedan, possibly a hatchback, with a great range and good charging speed, good road tripper. What comes to mind?
So, I mean, you know, it's hard to bet against Tesla with road tripping. It really is.
It is.
You know, 600-mile drives, you know, if that's a big, important play, it's difficult to bet against Tesla. You know, and I know so many people say how these vehicles lack NACS. I think people are worrying too much about that. You know, you'll be able to have access to the Tesla network with adapters that are going to cost less than $200. So, you know, the fact that the vehicle doesn't have NACS on it, I wish people wouldn't be too worried about that, because it's not going to perform any better with it with a different charge inlet. You know, and there's the adapters are readily available for level one and level two. So that's really not something I think people are focusing too much on. It they're thinking that their cars will, like, you know, will suddenly charge as well as Teslas do immediately, you know, and that's not going to be the case. But in any event, it seems like a Tesla might work for this person. You know, the glass roof issues you worry about, you're going to get a glass roof with the Teslas. So that's coming. And a lot of the other EVs have them standard. Some of them, they're optional. I don't have a list of which ones automatically come with the glass roof versus which ones are optional. I'm not sure. The Mustang Mach-E, I don't know if you need all-wheel drive, but the rear-wheel drive long-range one that has over 300 miles of range, doesn't have great DC fast charging. It's not terrible, up to 80%, which is typically you're going to be your target when you're on a road trip. And, you know, I also think that for some people that do occasional road trips, they focus too much on the DC fast charge speed. If you're traveling really far for work and it's important because you're on a time frame, that's one thing. But when you do a road trip, sit back and relax a little. If it's an extra 15 minutes at a charging station to charge a Tesla, a vehicle to 80% that it took you to charge a Tesla, 20 minutes tops, you know, more, then what that means, just, you know, relaxing and sipping your coffee a little bit slower and just taking a little bit more time. I think, you know, and I'm it's funny that I'm saying that, because I'm the guy always talking about charging speed and how this vehicle charged better than others. And I do that just to really explain it to people. But I think I have to spend more time talking when I do these videos about how it really, you know, unless you're going to be using DC fast chargers all the time, if the car charges a little bit slower than another car, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it is for, like, a guy like Kyle that puts, I mean, the guy literally puts like 10,000 to 15,000 miles a month on his cars, you know, but normal humans like us put like 1,000 miles a month on our cars. So, you know, don't spend that much time at DC fast chargers. So Tesla might be the best vehicle for you. you know, you want a long, long range car. The rear wheel drive, the big battery Mach-Es do really well on road trips, and they charge a little bit slower, but I wouldn't let that hold me back.
What you got, Martin?
So you want a hatchback or a sedan, but you want the big miles, and we start to buff up a little bit against physics here, because you can't have a smaller car that does a long range. You know, you don't get a Honda or a Fiat 500 that does 300 miles. And so you need to get a slightly bigger vehicle if you want the bigger range, apart from if you want to go for a Tesla because they are more efficient. But if you like your wife's BMW and the experience of it, well, then the i4 is just a little bit longer than you said. You said you want to keep the length down to, I think it's 185 inches or something. And I think that the i4 is, you mentioned, 182 inches. That's it. So 182, and the i4 is 185. So if we can,
that's fine. Yeah.
If we can argue about the small difference, then the i4, the extras, it's the X40, the spec that's going to get the most miles on that, I forget, but anyway, it wouldn't be, if you can get the two-wheel drive version, if you get that where you are, you're going to get more miles, same as the new Polestar. So the new Polestar that came out, the recently refreshed one, they've moved the single motor from front-wheel drive to rear-wheel drive in the proper place, and they've also decontented it a little bit to get the price down. So that does mean that you can find the new Polestar two-wheel drive with the bigger battery, with big miles. You can get the tin roof if you want, so you haven't got to have the fancy pants glass roof, and then you can always add on some specs to get it what you want. So otherwise, because the Polestar is going to come with a glass roof, a lot of new EVs are going to come with the panoramic glass roof because it's a very desirable feature for many people. But you can get the Polestar now in base spec, but rear wheel drive, big miles. And then again, with the Polestar, you're going to get that hatchback. And that's, I'm sure that's I think the Polestar is shorter than the BMW i4. But I don't know, with what you've said, then I'd have a look at the i4, because I keep seeing them around and I think they look so good. And to echo Tom's point as well, if you occasionally drive 600 miles, if you have destination charging where you're going to, that's a two-stop road trip, which I think for 600 miles to do two stops, to do 200 miles, stop, 200 miles, stop, 200 miles, destination charge overnight, for, you know, it's a hotel or a relative, fully charge your battery, leave again. Destination charges changes road tripping as well. Then I think you're going to have a pleasant time. Yes, you can push the miles. You don't like unfortunately, the Korean cars, because you're going to get some good mileage out of the Neos and Niros and Konas, but you don't like, you kind of ruled those out. But I wouldn't worry. If it was week in, week out, and it's going to bug you, then go for a Tesla. If it's an occasional road trip, yeah, I echo what Tom says. Enjoy it. If the charges are full when you get there, don't stress. Just charge when you can, and hopefully it's all, you know, both of those suggestions I've given you, you're going to charge at 150 kilowatts plus, peak rate anyway, at least if you arrive with a low state of charge, and you'll be off on your way before you've even finished your coffee and your snacks.
Yeah, I like that new Polestar 2 recommendation, Martin. That's pretty good, actually. It's got...
hard to find a tin top, isn't it?
Oh, that part, I'm not sure. I mean, so...
No, I mean, it's hard to find an EV these days with a tin roof. Like, there's so many big glass roofs on EVs.
Right. But I mean, I I'm a fan of the glass roof thing, but I understand it's not for everyone. But you can buy for $100 or less sunshades for the Teslas. Some manufacturers have them already inside. But I'm not sure. I think does Volkswagen have closable sunshades in theirs? I almost think they do.
Yeah, we should recommend the ID4 more, actually.
Yeah, I was just thinking, so the 2024 ID4 rural drive is going to have 291 miles of range, I think, and it should be relatively, you should be able to get that, I think, but it only comes out in March, so you might have to wait a little bit if you want to buy one right away. That's not available yet. But that
Sorry to interrupt. They just announced this week, didn't they, end of last week, that the new one's coming out of, where's the factory?
Chattanooga?
Chattanooga. With the SK On battery, and now tax credit, $7,500.
Oh.
You get the incentive. So
I missed that news.
Yeah, end of last week. I saw I'll see if I can find it.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Heck, that's my decision made right there. I do have actually the Model 3 down here as well. The Tesla Model 3 Highland, long range, it's like 45,990, 341 miles of EPA range. And yeah, just get that sunshade for heat. If you get the Tesla, you can buy the sunshade from Tesla. And of course, like hail, I mean, insurance is going to cover that. You know, there's not really a whole lot you can do. If you have a tin roof, it's going to, you know, really decrease the value of your vehicle. And unless you, I don't know, it's just getting insurance. And, you know, if the glass gets cracked, it's easily replaced. It's probably easier to replace a cracked glass than it is like a golf ball roof, you know, I guess. I don't know. So, yeah, I think, but I looking at my choices, yeah, ID4 is going to be like the one just because it's a good price with that $7,500 tax incentive, if that's happening. And rear-wheel drive has got plenty of power and a super great turning radius for driving around town. You'll enjoy that. And you did mention Volkswagen, the ID7. This is going to be, you know, shorter than that, of course. Not a sedan, but it's not like a full-blown SUV either. It's just a crossover. Yeah, here we go. Volkswagen ID4 with SKON battery components, eligible for full $7,500 tax credit in 2024. Makes that's amazing great news.
Great deal.
Is amazing news, I think.
So that starts right. MSRP 38,995. So you haven't got, you can go, you know, from your budget as well, go up a little bit, and you're going to get a great spec.
Right. Yeah, and backseat room for the growing daughter, I think, should be fine.
Get the hatchback. So that's the, you wanted that hatchback practicality.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sold. All right. So I think is that pretty much it for this week? Okay. So that brings us to the end of our show. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. If you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click that bell icon for notifications and subscribe. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you all again next time. Ciao.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.